This is the Making It in Movie Making podcast with Richard Fish, and today I'm talking to Christina Santiago.
Hi!
So, do you just want to tell me all about your film experience, like what you're doing, what you're trying to do, and then I'll interrupt with questions.
Yeah. My name is Christina Santiago. I live in Buffalo, New York. I have been in the film scene since 2012. With a huge, gigantic combustion as of this past year. I'm also, while being mostly an actor, I've also been an executive producer for a couple things. And that's all I got.
What did you start with? Like, what did you do in 2012 to kind of kickstart?
2012 is where I got my first, like, movie. And I did Dick Johnson, Tommy Gunn versus Cannibal Cop. And that is a pretty kooky, gory horror comedy film. And I play a victim of the cannibal cop. And it's something I hold close to me because, like, one of my first acting things in film. So.
So how did you get that? Was it just like an open audition, or like? Do you have an agent? Like, how did you get your kind of first?
Yep, it was just that I don't have an agent. I've been doing this all by my lonesome. It was an open audition I saw on Craigslist. That was that. Yeah, I was like, do I go or do I see if I potentially get murdered? and so I did, and I ended up meeting some really, really amazing, like, deep in the film industry in Buffalo, New York. People, they're super nice, super awesome. I also made friends with somebody who was also auditioning, and we became really friends, and she introduced me to a bunch of things down the line even. So film, like, auditioning really opened up doors for me, because without going there, just being like, I'm so nervous, I'm so scared that this is a serial killer, I went anyways, and I didn't die, and I ended up making so many friends along the way.
And it was just a fictional serial killer in the end, which is kind of what
you Yes, mean. Yes, and I know him personally, too. He's a super awesome, super nice guy. Really tall guy. Super nice guy.
Did you know him already, or you just met him from that?
I met him on set, actually. I didn't even meet him there, like, when I auditioned. I met him on set, and super nice guy. So I'm topless in this movie. I die topless in this movie. And he was so nice, because, like, whenever they said cut, he was like, you girls need anything? And I'm just like, no, I'm good. He's like, do you need this? And then, like, even when something happened, like, he covered me up. So he was such a gentleman.
So I looked at your IMDb, and that goes back to, like, 2016. So remind me, what was the name of this first film that you did, the one you've
just
been talking about?
It was Dick Johnson, Tommy Gunn versus Cannibal Cop. We filmed it in 2013, and then it went through the process of, like, being edited, being this, being that, and we even tried to, like, show it off, and I think it even won awards in film, what are those things called? Yes, thank you. In either New Jersey or New York City. So and they it won. I cannot remember for the life of me what it won, but I remember seeing congratulations, and I was like, yay, our movie won. So pretty happy about that. So it went through that whole cycle before it got distributed, is available in 2016.
Okay, do you know much about, like, how that gets distributed then? Obviously, that's kind of the filmmaker side, but what is the process between, like, making the thing and getting it picked up so you can distribute it?
I do not know that. As mostly that being just an actor, I don't know how to hold a camera. I don't know how to, like, be like, okay, now we're going to do this and this and that. I have no idea. And even with the recent films that I've been doing, it's a different process, I'm assuming, because it's a smaller production company. Okay. And we've even had issues with certain movies that we had to back out of a couple other places in order to go a different route. And even more so, lots of streaming companies now exist, and everybody wants some form of a stream site to be able to view movies on. And so it's changed drastically since 2016, even, that people are like, okay, so I want my movie distributed. What's the best route? Are people just going to buy the electronic copies, or do they want a physical copy? Most Indiegogos tend to stick with the DVD and the Blu-rays because people want signed stuff. People want like proof of stuff. So
right.
It's just a matter of your targeted audience and where you want it to go.
I think with the DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, they can do like added content, like still like bonus features are a thing for the kind of people who want these as collector's items.
I love bonus features though.
Me too. I think that's the real downside to stuff like Netflix, is like they don't have special features.
No.
And it's like, I love director's commentaries. You know, if you want to make films, it's like, it's great just listening to them, but
yeah. And bloopers. I love bloopers.
Yeah.
Some of the bloopers that I've seen, especially with recent films, people need to see that. They need to laugh as hard as I laughed. I almost peed my pants half the time. So you need to see it.
So like, before ever working, like, where did you think that you wanted to act? Like, how did that happen? Did you always want to act? Did you just decide one day you wanted to act? Like, what?
Always since the second grade, I have had this dream of wanting to be famous. I've had this dream of like wanting to be remembered, I guess. That's really the big ultimate dream. Second grade, I landed singing in front of the entire school and their parents and the teachers and everything. And our school was pretty big. We filled up a whole gigantic gymnasium that was like a football field long. And I sang in front of them and I was like, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. Something like this, I will do this. And I was in musicals. I did all that sort of stuff. And then once that ended in Buffalo, like you really, it's either you become like a famous like theater person or you move on to film. And so that's where I moved on to film. I'm like, I'm not really a good dancer anyways, so I'm going to go do movies.
I get that. I'll act, I'll sing, but don't make me dance. I don't really have
it. Yeah, I'm like, and I dance.
So do you think it's possible to like have kind of a sustainable career just acting in Buffalo? Because I mean, obviously, like a lot of people are like, okay, you've got to go to New York City, you've got to go to LA. Like, what's kind of possible to do in Buffalo, do you think?
Honestly, I think because of everything that's going on in the film industry in California and in New York City and in Georgia, and it's expanding. And it isn't expanding in Buffalo. We have two production companies being built here in Buffalo. So everybody who's in the film industry is extremely excited about that. We've had major movies and major movie stars come here, and they love Buffalo. They think, A, it's so much cheaper to film here. We have such a hospitality about us. We literally are the city of good neighbors. And when John Krasinski was here filming A Quiet Place 2, it was just an amazing opportunity for many of the actors that are here to be in a major movie. Major opportunity for a lot of the local, like, small mom and pop shops, like food, like getting catering and all that, like places. We have a great wide variety of things available here that people don't even realize until they've been here and they're like, yeah, this place is pretty awesome. And the people aren't crazy. And if you really, like, we have everything. We have history, we have culture, we have beaches, we have woods, we have snow, we have fall, we have Niagara Falls. Come on, like, we have a world wonder. So we have everything under the sun, and to see Buffalo growing, I have so much hope that it's going to be just something really, really big down the line for many people like me and anybody else who's into acting or filming or, you know, crew, behind the scenes, anything, you name it.
So when do you say all that stuff's kind of started? Like Buffalo started doing whatever it's doing to get the attention of the film industry?
It's been a while. I want to say the early 2000s. Because who's the owner of the Troma films?
Is it Lloyd? Somebody.
Lloyd Kaufman?
Yeah, that sounds right. We can check this later.
Well, we've had Troma films filmed here. I have friends who are in Troma films. And I literally just worked with today's Tuesday. Just a couple days ago, I worked with Paul McGinnis, who's in those Troma films. I've worked with John Renna, who's in those films. Like, and that really, like, while it's unique in its own way, it's definitely where a lot of people are like, I know you, I know this person. And I like, that's so cool. That's who this is. Like, they've been to horror conventions and like, I knew what Troma films were before I even got into film. So like, that's so awesome. So I think they definitely like catalyzed quite a bit of things and they love it. They love Buffalo. And I know in the early 2000s, we had Spider-Man filmed here. Last year, right before the pandemic set in, we had Bradley Cooper here and Guillermo del Toro filming Nightmare Alley. Like, we have these things happening. It's just, you would never realize like it was filmed in Buffalo. So.
So what about your own journey then? So after you make the first movie, like what comes next? Like, how do you start getting attention? Is it still auditioning for things, or do you start to find that you're like a part of the circle and people are recommending you?
I feel very much a part of a circle right now. I do. But when I first started, I went off and I was like, this is either a serial killer or this is an audition and hopefully I get it. And so I went in, auditioned, and I like, because they're like, I know you, I remember you. You were that weird shaky person. And I'm just like, yeah, that was me. And so I don't know how people know me, recognize me, but from there, like I try to be as nice as I possibly can to people because like I don't like to be treated like garbage. So most people know me as like a nice person and they're like, you're very nice and you're this and you're sweet. And I was like, thank you. So the circle that I'm in now, because I am very much a part of like Foxtrot Productions, met Amir Scalagna through somebody who was like, you're not afraid to be topless in front of people. So he needs somebody to be topless in a movie. He's like, I threw your name in there. I was like, what a great way of getting noticed, I guess. So I messaged him immediately. I was like, so-and-so said that you needed somebody topless and I'm more than willing to audition. And he's like, oh, thank God. I did not know how to talk to a woman about being topless in a movie. He's like, thank you for starting that. And then from then on, he's just like, hey, you know, would you be interested in doing this? I'd like for you to read this. I want you to read that. And then, so I've been in many Foxtrot movies now, and not all of them topless. So
is that your thing? It's like, I'll be topless, put me in your movie.
Yeah. He knows I'm very comfortable. That's the thing. And I trust Amir. Amir's a really amazing guy. He's never made me uncomfortable. That is something that you do, like, as a woman, you have to worry about, like, is this a creep? Is this just a guy that's trying to, like, record you naked? You know, that is a whole nother topic, though. But he's super nice. His team is very small, though. So he has, like, two other people helping him with movie stuff. And then he's asked me to be, like, this promo person for it. Because I love seeing my friends succeed. I love seeing people be happy and, you know, doing their passions. And it's wonderful. It's awesome. And the movies are super awesome, amazing. Like, I've only been in like 5 or 6 of them, but they're really good.
And is this all kind of like horror, like alternative horror? Like, what's the genre that it's like going for?
Most of them are horror gore. There are a couple like suspenseful, like dramatic ones that have nothing to do with like super gore, super horror, or this or that. Like, Veronica is more of a thriller, like it plays on your emotions a lot instead of the typical, oh my God, I'm being chased by a killer, help me. And so that one's really good. And then Anthropocene, which we filmed during the pandemic, has a much different somber sort of emotional toll on you. They're both really good.
It's quite a big like online community for horror things. Like I noticed, like when I contacted you, I'm like, oh, she knows this person. Like how does that work? Like how do you kind of all get to know each other internationally?
So most people I've met are because I put myself out there. I'm trying to think of how like I got to know this person and that person. I literally went to a random audition on Craigslist and I got in, and because of that, and I went to their premieres for it, I would meet other people, and from that I've met other people. One person, I lived right down the road from him and I didn't even know, and we randomly Facebook friended each other, and then I was like, do you literally live like 3 houses down from me? Because I think you do. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, wow, small world. I was like, awesome. And then that's how I got into being in a movie with him. And because of him, I met other people, and those other people have been super nice. One of them's like one of my best friends ever in everything. Like she and I do a lot of movies together. So it's really just a matter of like putting yourself out there and just getting to know people and just being like, hi, I'm Christina. That's how I did it with Paul McGinnis. I saw him randomly at a movie premiere. I never met the guy before. I just thought he was so cool, so awesome. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, and I literally did, like, I was like, hi, Paul, I'm Christina. So nice to meet you. I became like, very close. I value our friendship. Him and me, I value our friendship. And I just worked with him last weekend. So I'm like, I've only known the guy a year now, and I'm just like, I'm so glad that I literally just took to get, can I say balls?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I just grew balls and just walked on over and did that. And
you can swear like if you need to. I just need to mark the episode. Say what you want for me.
Watch out, people. She says balls. and just be humbling. Don't be overly dramatic. Don't be a fangirl. That kind of creeps people. I wouldn't like it. Like, I get guys who are always in my DMs being like, I want more of you. Where can I get more of you? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Please don't know.
So have you like met fans of the movies, or have like fans of the movies like done the DMs thing, or like approached you like asking you things? Like what's that experience?
So one of my favorite experiences was so for Casting Couch Slaughter, I put my bra up for a raffle, and somebody immediately messaged the person who was holding who held the raffle, and he's like, I want that bra. I need that bra. Here's my price, and let me know if that's enough. And I was like, it's a raffle. But like, I don't know, maybe he's a movie collector or something. But I followed through with it. It was a really decent price.
So you sold it to that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you not like have a little devil on your shoulder thinking, maybe I don't need to work anymore if I just sell all my underwear?
Well, the craziest thing, we're doing Casting Couch Slaughter 2, and Amir was like, is there anything that you want to sell this time around? He's like, you did really good the last time. And I was like, I don't know. Because I didn't really show myself a lot. So I was like, there wasn't something iconic about one thing that I wore over the other.
So I was going to ask, so was this like a, like the bra, was that like what you wore in the movie and then mm-hmm. it kind of became like
yeah.
thing. I mean, people do collect props and things.
Yeah, selling props and costumes and stuff. And it was my first time ever doing it. I've never ever done that before. And I even did my research when he was like, "Is that something that you would be interested in?" And I was like, "Yeah, let me get in on this." And so I did my research and I was like, you know, girls take pictures. They write what they did in a day with it. They don't wash it. And I was like, well, good thing I'm lazy and I didn't wash this bra yet. So
I'm just sitting there thinking, I wish I was a girl. Like,
I wasn't even like undies or anything like that. So that was probably like one of the coolest things, I think, as seeing somebody who was so interested in the movie, so interested in like me, and was more than willing to be like, here's, take all this money because I need this. And so I was like, that was.
And is this money just for you because you're selling your stuff, or is this, do you then like do something movie?
I've never sold anything before.
I mean, like, it's just you selling it and you get the money, right? You don't have to like put it into a movie or something. Like,
No. I got all the money. it was super, Amir jokes about it now, but like we had a little bit of a controversy because of it. Because everybody was like, I bet you he keeps all the money and blah, blah, blah. He's like, she's selling her own bra. And she's keeping all the money herself. So it was super cool, I think, to have. That was so weird in itself. I've never even talked to those people before. And then they were just like, Christina's being exploited.
No, I'm exploiting the people who are giving me a ton of money. How did you advertise that? Tell me that was on Craigslist too. Like, is that how you sold that?
It was on my Facebook, and then it was on the Casting Couch Slaughter Facebook. And then Casting Couch Slaughter had to take it down because they couldn't make it look like it was through. I was like, but I'm in that movie, and the whole reason I'm doing it is because I was in that movie. Nobody's even gonna know why I'm openly, publicly selling a bra on Facebook. Unless it's tied to that movie. I'm like, I don't, do you guys not understand why this makes no sense? Now I just look like I'm a creep selling my bra online.
So how, was that a while back? Like, when did that happen?
October, because it was.
Oh, like just last year?
Yeah, just this past year.
This is just to like entertain somebody during COVID then?
Apparently.
Okay.
But, no, we started filming Cash and Cow Slaughter in September, and the premiere was going to be Halloween. So I was like, if you put in for this raffle on Halloween, when we do the premiere, I will go live and I will raffle off my bra. And so that ended up not happening. And then the controversy happened, and immediately, like, that person was like, so can I buy it?
Oh, so like the raffle had already been canceled and the guy was like, oh, I need to buy this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. He's like, is this still available?
Although even, like, you know, even doing things like that, like say that you go on and get mega famous, like whatever he paid for that bra, he's going to be able to make a profit on that. You know what I mean? Like if...
Yeah.
A few years down the line, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Like I know... They sold Ursula Andress's like bikini thing from Dr. No. I don't know how much it went for, but like that's, you know,
So I tried. So yeah, that was that one DM. The other ones are mostly like, cause I've been a lingerie model and a boudoir model. So I get a lot of DMs about that, where they're like, show more, take it all off. And I'm like, this isn't what you think it is. I'm like, no. And then I get the ones that think that I'm a porn star now because of Casting Couch Slaughter. I played a porn star. And yeah. So that's always interesting. I don't think there's been anybody who's been nice to me when it comes to DMs in the sense of...
You don't think anyone's been nice to you. What do you mean?
I know, right? I feel like it, like, they want something. They want something. Even the people who are just, like, so you're into acting. Can you get me into acting? And I'm like, I don't even know how I got myself into it. I just wanted to do it. So...
Yeah.
Good luck with that. That's how I explained it to everybody. And I'm just like, I don't know how I got this lucky. And I want you to do it. If you want to do it, then do it. Like, go for it. But, and here's resources, but I don't know how to help you. Like, personally, I don't. I'm sorry.
I think a lot of it, especially in these like smaller areas, is just like reaching out to people. I mean, I guess that's kind of what I do. I just like, oh, where's the local filmmaking club, or where's the like local festival or whatever, and just go and talk to everyone and like, yeah, oh, I can work with this person, I can work with this person. Or you meet actors and it's like, oh, I could write a thing for that person, you know, rather than like writing a role and then be like, oh my God, I can't find the right person for this role. It's just like, no, I'm going to write it for this person. And they'll say yes, because we're friends now.
Sometimes that's not the greatest idea, though. Like, that's
no,
why,
because I'm, if they like, then don't want to do it, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. And then you're like, great, now I need to find somebody just like you? What? Yeah. I've seen that, like, tear people, like, tear complete, like, projects apart, even. So I'm just like, never do that. Like, even me, I'm like, I don't expect to always have a role with my friends. If they are writing something, I'm like, awesome, I'll support you in anything. And if I can audition for something, please let me know. If not, then you know what? I'm still going to support you. Love you. Care about you. Want your dreams to succeed and all that sort of stuff. Because, you know, I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I'm not. So
I don't really know much about it, but I know in the US there's like a huge difference between, or like there's some sort of controversy between like union and non-union and paid and not paid. And then there's this weird space where it's like, it's independent and you get paid, but you don't get paid the same as union. So what can you explain to me about that? Cause I'm trying to struggle to get my head around it.
So union, SAG, AFRA, those are the people that pay into something and they can only work on those sort of projects. They are not allowed to work on their friend's thing at all because they signed into a union. The union is supposed to help them find the work. The union is supposed to help make sure that they get paid. It does get you more paying jobs, but then you're literally a part of a club. You're a part of that club and you can't leave that club.
And you have to pay to be part of the club too, right?
You do. It's very helpful, though. It is very resourceful. Me, personally, I'm not ready to sign on to being a part of that yet. So I'm not going to do it until I know that I have to do it.
Have you done union jobs, though? Because I think my understanding is you can do union jobs if you're not union but not the other way around. Is that...
Yeah, I think you need special paperwork, though.
Right.
It's all, like, technicalities and documentation and paperwork. I know for the most part, like background people, because I've been in like a couple movies where they're looking for background people and you don't need to be union. You could be non-union. You can just be like, I'm here and I'm here to help.
And they're like, here's some money. Go and stand there for 12 hours.
Yes. So, and it just really depends on, because the production company itself, whatever the movie's about, if it is using not like if it's using union people, they had to pay into that to be able to have access to those people. They had to have proper documentation for that, whereas independent films, non-union people, your best friend with a camcorder, that's all non-union. Your independent film work, and if they say they're gonna pay you, like, make sure it's in writing. If they just say that they have crafty service, they just have crafty service. So, and IMDb credits, you'd be surprised, actually mean the world to me. It's just I'm not good at making sure that they're put in. So always make sure that if they say that they're going to give you IMDb credit, make sure they put it in. Like, whatever they say that they're going to offer you, make sure they actually give it to you.
So. Well, after we were talking, I did look you up on IMDb, and it looks like you've done loads of stuff kind of in the last 5 years. So I was just kind of looking at it. It kind of looks like an explosion. It's like, it seems like you're constantly... working on something, even
absolutely
with the pandemic. So, I mean, is this all you do now, or do you have like a normal job as well? Like, what's your kind of?
I'm definitely a normsy on the other side. I'm a financial advisor. So I help people gain financial independence and learn about like retirement plans and good things to invest in. That's basically it. It's boring, but it's
maybe I'll ask you about that another day. I could do some advice, but that's not what we're talking
about. I just do like free consultations, free talks with people, free like everything. And because I want people to know this information. So I'm always like, hey, I got you. So yeah. You ever need the money talk? You can talk to me.
I'll just sell my underwear. I don't know.
That's a good financial thing if you sell at least, 20 pair a week.
All right. Okay. So do you have like goals for this? Like, where are you trying to go? Or are you just kind of enjoying the ride as it goes along? Like, what's your thinking on acting?
I honestly didn't even think this was going to get me anywhere. I had big goals back when I was in second grade. I was like, I want to be famous. I want to be famous. I want to be remembered. I want to be able to walk across that stage to get an Oscar or something weird like that. And then, as I got older, I was like, is this really like a sustainable dream? Am I really going to do this? Is this something that's going to take me far? And then I let go of those dreams for a little bit because I was like, where's your reality, Christian? What's going to smack you in the face and tell you, no, this was a bad idea?
Okay, so this is the interesting bit. So where are you at that space? Like, kind of at what age were you like, okay, I'm not going to chase that anymore? And then when did it come back around to, yes, I am?
It literally keeps coming back into my life. And I'm just like, you know what? Just have fun with it. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. It's something I really enjoy doing too. I'm very passionate about it. I guess I just don't want, I don't want to overcompensate my dreams for reality. So I keep myself in a checks and balance sort of thing. And I love it. I love everything that I get to do. I love everything that I've done so far. And it's so much fun. It's not like work for me. It's fun. And passion and happiness. and I've so far I'm like, I have like a bucket list now of things that I want to do in film. And I'm like, I'm slowly crossing those things off. So I guess maybe once my bucket list is done, I'll be done.
Can you share some of the list?
Over 100 items.
See what you've got there. 100 items. Okay. What are some of the items on the list? Oh, you can do all 100 if you want.
Okay. I'll go with the ones that I definitely have done. And then I'll bring up a couple that I really want to do. When I first went into the auditioning thing, one of the things I auditioned for was something about Pigman Road. And I grew up very close. Like I went to Lakeshore High School. So Holland Road I was like, I'd love to be in a movie about Holland Road and Pigman and all that sort of stuff. And when I auditioned for a role in one of the movies, did not get it. And I think I bombed it terribly. I bombed it. It was awful. don't switch over from theater to movies. Huge difference in auditions. Huge difference. You don't have to scream, Christina. That's not what, no. So then last year, I got to be in Holland Road Massacre. And I got to be in a Pigman movie. And I was like, this is like an ultimate dream of mine ever since I started film. Here I am doing it. I'm running away from Pigman. And I'm like, this is amazing. And it got so much notoriety. Like we had all the radio stations talking about us. We had TV stations talking about us. We have other countries in this world looking us up and watching our movie. So not only did I like get my little folksy hometown dream, like the world has recognized it. So that's even better than I could have imagined on my bucket list.
So tell me a bit about like that story, like the local history there.
Oh, you want to know? Okay. So originally Holland Road is in Angola, New York, and it is, Angola is like by the lake in between Hamburg and Irving, which Irving is like the reservation, Hamburg, where I live now. It's a cute little villagey town that has a beach, and I hate that I don't really know much more about Angola. But so Holland Road, originally known for the Angola massacre, which happened in the early, like I want to say like 1918 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Close. I hate that I don't know the dates, but early in
I can dub it over later. I can look up the facts and just like dub my voice on yours horribly. Oh.
This is the date. There was a horrible train accident and it killed, I want to say, over 40 people. And there were so many people who were hurt in the accident. It was a gruesome thing. It happened right near the bridges where Pigman Road is. So that's where the tragedy starts. And then somewhere down the line, and my friends are going to hate, like there's family members of friends of family members who claim to have been around when the Pigman thing happened. And they said that it's a different story every single time. But story goes, there was this guy who lived there and wanted to be like live in solitude, had an ugly, grotesque face. And teenagers would pick on him mercifully, like unmercifully. It was awful. And in order to get them to leave him alone, there was three teenagers taunting him. And he cut their heads off and put their heads on stakes in front of the road so that everybody knew, like, to leave him alone. And that's the story of Pigman. And I've heard that he's also hung people off of the bridge. But that's just my own little added tidbit. I don't know if that's true.
So what did you get to do in your movie version of this?
My movie version, I got chased around by Pigman. I had to run a lot in a winter storm running. I can't say how I die in that one. Now you know I die.
Or don't die. Dies or doesn't die. So how often do you get to live through these? It doesn't sound like it's much.
Let's see. Do I ever live through any of the movies that I've made? I don't know. I don't think so.
You're like the new Sean Bean.
Every single movie. You know why? Because I don't follow the horror movie rules. And everybody knows the horror movie rules. I don't follow them. I don't. And I know, you know what, that's why I deserve to die. I deserve to die. I deserve to die. I look behind me as I'm running away, like, you don't do that. Like, you're going to trip. Of course you're going to trip. You don't say, I'll be right back. I think I said that like 8 times, probably. I'll be back. I never.
No, you won't.
I've done the do, clearly, in movies. you're not supposed to be sexy time with people. No. That's a big no. That's how they get you alone and naked. Nope. I don't follow the rules, so that's why I get to die.
I guess. I loved when they brought all that out in Scream, when they like explicitly go through the rules in the movie Scream. I take it you've seen. It's just like, yeah.
Yep.
Flips it all on its head.
It's good rules to follow by. And they make sense.
So do you know what's next? Like, have you got anything lined up that you're allowed to share?
Yeah, so I believe I just finished Casting Couch Slaughter 2. I think I'm done with my scenes. I don't know. Okay. Hopefully, fingers crossed, done with that. We have Veronica coming out this month. And we actually have a premiere at the screening room on April 18th.
Is that a live premiere with people can?
It's a first come, first serve. They're only allowed, I think, like 40 people. Because of COVID. But we're also showing Anthropocene, which we filmed last year in the pandemic, along with the premiere of Veronica. So if you are free, April 18th, go see Veronica because I have not seen that one yet. And we finished filming January, February.
And where can people get tickets?
You have to go there. Like, there's no pre-sale tickets. There's no pre-sale. So
even if I make it late
and there's over 40 people, I won't be able to go in and watch it.
That's exciting.
But I'd rather other people watch it instead of just like the cast watch it. I would love to hear your guys' reactions.
And where can I go and watch all your stuff? Where can people find your movies if we want to like just become new fans and start sending you creepy DMs?
It's okay. You could send me creepy DMs if you want to.
I can't think of any.
Let's see. So I know that Foxtrot Productions has stuff on Amazon Prime. They have stuff on a new streaming site called Gumroad, I believe. We're really trying to like push Gumroad on a lot of people because...
So tell me about Gumroad then if you're trying to push it. Maybe I can find it.
So it's a newer streaming site where you can put your movies on and there isn't any like drastic ratings. Like Amazon Prime, you're awesome, you're great, cool, but certain movies get taken out immediately because of too much violence or sexual content. It's like, but we're artists and it's not real. And there's this movie on here. If you have the money to pay to be able to stay on Amazon, then you can stay. But like Cast and Couch Slaughter did not stand a chance on Amazon Prime. So I believe it's on Gumroad. We do have, is it Kunaki? Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm so sorry. But you can order DVDs and Blu-rays immediately from Amir. So if you go to Foxtrot Productions Facebook page and send a message saying, I'd like to buy a DVD or a Blu-ray, he'll buy it for you. He'll order it for you immediately.
So is this Amir's company then, Foxtrot Productions? Is that what all of his stuff's under?
That's where many of the movies that I've been in come from. Right. And they're a great production company. I love those guys. They're literally like family to me. They're literally like family to me now. So
have you worked with other people as well? Or are you kind of like in-house now, almost like you're part of this studio?
I did end up becoming executive producer of Cast and Couch Slaughter because of the things that I have contributed to that film. But I don't mind working with other people, and I have worked with other people. So I worked with John Renna, who was the guy for Dick Johnson, Tommy Gunn versus Cannibal Cop. I have worked with Joe Palumbo. He helped with other movies that are here. I have worked with Ray Skilla on a music video that I was in. I've been in a couple music videos too, but most of them have been with Amir. So who else have I worked with? It is escaping me and I hate that. Huge blank mind whenever I get like the good questions.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So are you still looking to like do, presumably you're looking to do like other genres. I was going to ask specifically like, do you want to sing in a movie? You know, because of your story when you were a kid. God,
I would love to sing in a movie. Absolutely love it. That is something that I do miss. When it comes to like theater, like that's something I utterly miss because nobody sings in movies anymore. Nobody does like musicals, film app adaptations, although I did audition for it was a big thing because it was a Steven Spielberg when he wanted to redo West Side Story. I did audition.
He's doing that, right?
He is doing it. I did not get in.
So did you audition for that? Was that in Buffalo too, or did you have to go somewhere else?
No, I had to send in a video. They wanted authentic Puerto Rican people, and I'm like, I'm authentic, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm people. And so I sent in a video of me singing, and in my bathroom. I'm like, I'm sitting behind the door so nobody can hear me because I feel like I sing too loudly. So, but yeah.
So where did you learn about that opportunity to be able to like send in a tape?
It takes a lot of like, I did the song over like 40 times because I'm like, it's just not right. I want it to be perfect. This is Steven Spielberg. You don't just like willy-nilly with Steven Spielberg. No. And like it went in, I did get like, you know, an email saying, thank you. This is confirmation that we received it. And then after I got the email saying, sorry. And I'm just like, it's okay.
How long did you have to wait? Like how many days did you have hope
for? It was weeks. I waited at least a month before I heard anything back.
How did you know about applying for it? Like, was it an advert you saw somewhere or like how?
Yeah, it was. About? Well, I'm trying to think of how I remember. I think it was like I was working with somebody and they were like, they're doing auditions for West Side Story. I was like, I don't want to be in a musical right now. And that's overly demanding, like stage work, because I know like West Side, it's a lot of dancing. A lot of this, a lot of that, and the singing itself is not easy. So I was like, that I'm not gonna, and they're like, it's for to redo the film. And I was like, what? No way.
Okay then.
Okay. So that's how I saw it, and I put in all my information, and then they wanted video. I got asked to put in a video.
So what have you, like you mentioned theater a couple of times, like what have you done on that side, like the theater side of things?
Mostly like cheesy stuff. My favorite one I did was when I was in high school, and it was actually like a summer program that I did, and it was called The Boyfriend. I learned how to tap dance in 2 weeks for that. Tap dance, foxtrot, ballroom dancing, you name it. We had to learn all of these dances, and because it's the night, so excited that I don't know what we're excited. No, we wanted boyfriends. That's basically it. We wanted husbands and boyfriends, and we reel them in with our good looks and our charm and our dancing.
And you're dancing.
Yeah, I really did learn how to tap dance in like 2 weeks. For that, so I was pretty proud of myself to say that, like I can.
That is impressive. Like tap dancing is not an easy thing to learn.
It's not. And then we did four shows. We did four shows of that. So that was my favorite one. So
that was a while ago, right? Like how long ago?
Yeah, 2008.
Right.
It was a while because after. Let's see, 2009, I didn't do any musicals after. I got asked to be in a touring musical, with, like off-Broadway stuff, so I did.
That's exciting. How did you turn that down?
I wanted to live a normal life.
Why? Why would you do such a thing?
So it was either like live a normal life, stay home, take care of family, or not. And I decided to live the normal life. I was like, I'm not going to be famous anymore. Like I had doubts. I had worries and concerns. And I was like, I let that get the best of me. So
like, when did it come back around and you're like, okay, yeah, I do want to, when's the opportunity when you're like, yes, I want to do this thing again?
2012.
So you left it for what, 3 or 4 years and then we're kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After in 2010, I got pregnant. I started a family. I was like, this is how I thought I wanted to live my life. But I always had it in the back of my head. I was like, this, let things go because you let other people make decisions for you. When are you going to start making decisions for yourself? When are you going to be happy? When are you going to do this, do that? And after my daughter could walk and talk, I was like, I think I want to do this. And so got back into it with a lot of lack on my partner's end. He did not want me to get back into movies. He did not want me to get back into acting. He did not want me to do any of that. He's like, you're a mom. You're a hard worker. What more do you need in life? And I was like, I feel empty inside.
So did that create strain on the relationship, or did you resolve that? I mean, what?
It definitely strained it. And that's why, so in 2012, I did the filming for Dick Johnson, Tommy Gunn. And then I kind of stepped back again because I was told I needed to be a family person. And doing a topless scene, no less, was not a good thing in his mind. But so, yeah. So he was like, this is awful. This is not how you're supposed to be. This is not blah, blah, blah. So I took like another break for 5 years. And then we ended our relationship. And soon after, I got into modeling because I was like, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do. I don't feel confident in myself anymore. So I got into the modeling, and modeling really just...
I mean, the two sentences don't really like work in my head. You're like, I didn't feel confident. I decided to be a model. Like, how does that...
it's so funny because like, even now I'm like, I'm not an attractive person. I'm okay looking. I'm kind of pretty. I'm like, I'm not skinny. I'm not like anything special to look at. And one of my friends who is an actor, like a local actor and model and all this, she's like, people want to see you. They want to see all of you if they could. Why not just audition and go for it? Just go for it. And the worst you can hear is no, and that you were right. The best you can hear is that it's going to change your life and it's going to change your outlook on everything. And that's exactly what happened. So I was like, wow, like people like me. People think I'm pretty. And I'm like, I can be more. I'm like, wow. So I did that, and like it brought so much happiness back.
So how do you put yourself forward to be a model? Do you just like apply for a job at some agency or something? I mean, I know nothing about that.
Oh, so for me, I saw that there was like an audition for like a brand ambassador for a couple local companies, and they had auditions, like they would take pictures of you and they'd ask about you. And then they had, the contest was they were going to post your pictures onto their websites, and whoever got the most likes won.
God,
I
brilliant.
Actually didn't get the most likes, and everybody liked me enough so much that they still brought me in. And I was like, really, you liked me? Oh my goodness. And so did that for a whole year. And then I went for, they do it every year. They do a brand ambassador audition again. And I got it. I got it this time. They didn't even do like a contest. They just wanted me to be it. So I did it. And so I did it for almost 3 years. So it was amazing to be a part of that. And it was lingerie and boudoir. And my comfort zone was, I'm literally so comfortable like being half naked, topless. I just don't show the down there thing, but I'm all for it. And I don't have the normal like model body. I'm not 100 pounds. I'm literally like almost 200 pounds. I have shapes. And I have stretch marks. I have like a normal body, like everybody else that I get uncomfortable with. And I think that that's like, it's truly empowering to be like, I have all that, but you know what? You still want to look at me, don't you?
So does that like change how you feel about yourself then? Like it must do.
Very much so. Very much so. Like my last relationship was not supportive, not caring. The relationship went before I got into modeling with my daughter's father was not the greatest, and it was not supportive of hopes, dreams, anything. Just wanted to just live day in and day out like a normal person, and I'm not a normal person. I've come to establish and be happy that I'm very weird, very unusual.
Absolutely nothing wrong with being weird.
There's nothing wrong with it at all, and I love it. But I was shamed for it for so long, and then modeling got me back out of my shell again. And from there I was like, well, I'm comfortable being topless and things, so if anybody needs somebody to do that.
So So how did you like find the movie? Like, did we? I mean, I'm assuming you didn't just like Google, okay, who wants a naked person in Buffalo? Like,
No. So whenever I went to movie premieres and I met people, they would ask me if I've done anything, and I'm like, I've only done this, and like a couple like student films for people, and I was like, but I was topless in it. So if you ever need somebody topless. And I would say that like every single time.
Yeah. Kind of like half joking, but actually, no, I'm serious.
Yeah. Half joking, but not at the same, like, I'll be topless. I don't care.
So you say you go to like premieres. Is that like local filmmaker stuff? Like you're just going there to deliberately like meet filmmakers and things?
Yeah. No, at movie premieres. So I had friends who did movies. So I would go see their movies and I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. Or, oh, wow, that was interesting, or something. And
did you never, like, just say to your friends, put me in your movie? Or are these the people that you're saying, oh? Like?
No, these were real friends. They were real friends. They were just people I've come across, and I like, was a part of. Two people I know for a fact that I met because I liked escape rooms, and they owned an escape room. And I didn't know that they were actors till I did the 48-hour film festival here, and I was handing in our movie that we just made in 48 hours, and they're like, you do film? I was like, you do film? They're amazing people, and that's, I love their escape rooms, but I had no idea that they were also major, like, film people. Like, Dominic is in, like, Raymore and Flanagan commercials, and other commercials. I've seen him on TV. So, but they're really awesome people. So it's just a matter of like meeting people. That's how I've come to like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I think it's right. So it's like, as someone new to Buffalo, how do they go and meet the film people? Like, what do you do?
Especially after this pandemic thing, it's really hard because we don't really have many movie premieres going on right now. We don't.
Nobody's allowed out.
That's why I'm like super excited for April. Because they're finally starting to like let go a little bit. So definitely if there's any movie things coming up, go. Even if you don't know anybody, or if you like bring a friend with you and just be like, alrighty, so who do I like go introduce myself to and all this sort of stuff. So always just put yourself out there. That's like my biggest thing. I'm like, because I do that. I'm like, alrighty, I'm going to make a fool of myself. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm super weird, but I'm here. And hi. So, what you got to do.
So, do you know what's next? Do you know what you're filming next already or no?
Gravis Terre is, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Amir likes to use Latin words that I don't know how to pronounce. But it's
the great thing about Latin is you can pronounce it how you want because it's not a spoken language.
Yeah, and then my future's gonna start floating because I said it incorrectly and I summoned a demon.
That's a small price to pay to promote your work.
Okay. So yeah, Gravis Terre is like a demonic possession plant alien space thing movie. That's the best I can describe it as. And there aren't actually many roles in it. There's only, I think, like three roles in this movie. And I got in. So I'm pretty excited, super excited to be in it. We have an Indiegogo going for it because we're getting like specialty music from like a major record label in order to like use it and all that sort of stuff.
So but the Indiegogo is to like pay for the music rights, basically.
Yeah, we're paying for music rights. Because usually, other than that, we usually just do everything out of our own pockets.
Yeah.
So it's super exciting. I can't wait for that to start filming. And I'm pretty sure I'll have even more. It's only April. It's only almost April. So, and we've done more than four movies, I feel. So we'll probably have more coming in for sure from Foxtrot Productions. And okay, we always like to keep you guys entertained.
There's like a couple of questions I always ask like at the end, Lee. So the first one is like, in like the dream world, where you just like wake up and everything goes to plan, like where ideally would you be? Like if you, I don't know, if you could just like take somebody else's career, or if, you know, like what would what would your kind of dream scenario be?
My dream scenario? I don't even know, honestly. I always had big dreams of like, just, I've always wanted people to like ask me for my autograph and that sort of thing. So I guess being that famous, but then again, it's like, whose career would you really want? Do you want Kim Kardashian's career where, you know, she had a sex tape, or do you want like Ariana Grande's super career where she's super nice, but she sings a lot, tours everywhere? Do you want, it's hard. It's hard to choose.
Interesting to say about autographs, because I feel like people are more likely to go, can I get a selfie with you now anyway?
Yeah.
But also like, so you say you've had like DM like fans or creeps or however they are, like whatever kind of gray area they fall into. Like, has anyone like come up to you in person and gone, oh, you're that one chick from that one film I saw? Like,
no, nobody. It's all just through DMs. It's all just through their like, they'll send me a picture of like something they screenshot, or just they're like, I'm watching your movie. I'm just like, which one? And then they'll be like, I want to see more. And I'm like, no, you paid for that, so that's what you get.
That's
they all shall remain nameless unless they want to be jerks to me. Like, it usually I'm like, does that work with anybody else? Because I don't know how that would even work for
me. So like, how common is this? Like, because obviously, yeah, I suppose it's different.
Very common. Very common. Very common.
So like, could you put a number on like how many random strangers have like tried this sort of thing? Like,
yeah, let me just look up in my DMs right now.
I'll just pause while she counts.
like, and even different platforms. So like Facebook like has its own group of people. Instagram has its own group of people. The Instagram ones are very interesting because they could be anybody from anywhere. And yeah. So let's see. Dun, 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 dun. Can I say tits?
Yeah, you can say tits.
Anything? Okay. Yeah, so nice tits. Let's see.
How do you respond to that? Do you just like put like a thumbs up or something? Like, what?
I don't even respond. I even like leave them left on red. So I'm just like, no, thank you. There's so many there. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 today.
Wow. Today. And this is off like what, 6 movies? So somewhere there's.
I don't know. I assume like many women get DMs regularly.
Maybe they do. I mean, maybe like this just happens to all women and I don't know because I'm not one. Like,
yeah. My favorite one out of all of like, well, no, it's not my favorite, but it's one that I get a lot is, how are you single?
Right.
One guy recently tried to say, I'm doing a survey on why like beautiful women are single. Why are you single? And I was like, because I have standards, because I have this, because I have that, because I want like somebody like special. I don't just want like some random person all the time, blah blah blah. And he's like, cool. Those are very disappointing. And I was like, huh? And he's like, I know you've been hurt and I know you're damaged, but you know, you could give guys like us a chance. And I'm like,
whoa, that's creepy.
It's crazy. I don't, guys, if you're going to slide into any girl's DMs, whether they're pretty, whether they're, you know, like top boss babe sort of thing, be nice. Like, don't say that like a girl's damn, you don't know me. I mean, maybe I am damaged, maybe I'm not, I don't know, but I have standards and this and that, and like, I'm nicer to people who are nice to me. So if you're just like, hi, I think you're very, like there's been guys who are like, I think you're extremely attractive and I would really love to get to know you. Can I please take you out to dinner sometime? And I'm like, that's very nice of you and all, but I don't know you and I don't I don't think that this is the right thing to do. I'm sorry. But, like, I'll be nice. And I'll even be your friend. I don't care about being friends. But, like, I think I'm saving myself for, like, but special somebody that I'm, like, I'm thinking of. I don't know. But
How do you, to like ask another question that I always ask everyone in a slightly different way, like, how do you want people to find you online? Like, do you have like a Twitter and an Instagram and, I don't know, like a Facebook fan page that you want people to follow and not make intimate comments in the direct messages?
More so my Instagram than my Facebook. My Facebook is actually still my personal page. I don't have fan pages. These are my real life pages. I didn't realize like I was gonna probably like everybody else I know has like an artist page.
So where do we find you on Instagram then?
Instagram, it's just like Christina KR Santiago 23. That's my Instagram. It's me, it's my face on, like, I, and that has all of my modeling stuff on there too. So it's I have absolutely nothing of my personal life in regards to my Instagram. So my Instagram tends to be a much safer bet, and I do answer my DMs too. Like, so if somebody asks things, most of them are like the collab. They're like, let's collab. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? But other ones are like, I'm friends with people like, I'm friends with some porn stars on Instagram too. So because of Casting Couch Slaughter and, like, I'm not a porn star, but I played one and wasn't even for research. It was more so because I was like, so, like, how is this life? How is this? How is that? Like, and that was after the first Casting Couch Slaughter came out. I became friends with a couple people, and they're very, very nice. They're awesome, nice people. I've never had an issue or a problem with any of them. They're normal people. It's just that, you know, their job is to get naked and do the do. So other than that, they're super nice. I've never met somebody who was rude or mean in that industry. So very awesome people. Very awesome people. And I did ask questions, and yeah, I got answers. And then, like, how much do they make on certain platforms? Is one better than the other? Like, what kind of stuff do you enjoy doing? Do you like doing this more so? Is it harder to do this? Like, I think for the males in that industry, it's very hard, because it's not even like focused on them really. So whereas it is for females, it's very different. And then, you know, everybody likes to see the female body. Everybody likes to see the female body in all different shapes and forms. So I know that personally, in the sense of like modeling. It's So it was very easy to talk to them and just reach out. Like, they'll answer questions if you're nice. Be nice. Always be nice. Don't be rude. Don't be a creep. But yeah, no. Definitely, always talk to people. Always talk to people. You never know where it's going to lead you. I hope it don't lead me.
It's true, and it's kind of like you were saying before, like, the worst that can happen is someone can say no. And, like, that's kind of what you would think is going to happen anyway. So if you ask, you'll either get more than you've got, or you'll stay the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you want to add before I cut off the recording, and then I can just...
Hi, Mom. That's all I
Okay, so hi Christina's mom and all three other people who've listened. I don't know, who might be more than that.
Thank you.
It was good talking to you. Nice getting to meet you. And I think this is the first absolutely. One I've done where it's also the first time I've spoken to a person, so it's like an interesting format.
it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely been a lot of fun.